I'm Amita Vyas, and I'm a professor here at George Washington University, and I'm also a producer on the Girl Rising India film.
Okay.
She's Grand Poobah.
Grand Poobah.
That's the third title.
I'm Martha Adams. I'm the Chief Creative Officer for Girl Rising.
Okay, cool. So I guess let's start with how, I mean, I talked to Freda a lot about, you know, the issues explored and everything, but talk about a little bit about the event tomorrow and what sort of, you know, buzz you hope that will generate and awareness that you hope that will generate.
So I'm sure Freda talked to you about the fact that, you know, the original film launched in 2013,
right.
But now...
Played at Sundance.
Right. India. And now we're taking the film to India, and it launched actually on television to several hundred million viewers on Star...
520 million
viewers. 520 million viewers on Star TV, which is the largest distributor, TV distributor in India. And so what's really exciting about Girl Rising is that it inspires people to take action. And so many of the people here in Washington, D.C. who have seen the film, right, they walk out thinking, what is it that I can do? How do I join this movement? How do I get involved?
How do I keep it going?
Yeah, how do I keep that going? And so given that we're taking this journey to India now to launch this two-year campaign with the film, with the national mass media campaign, digital, radio, TV, the whole bit, there was a lot of excitement generated in Washington to say, okay, well, we really want to support that, and we want to engage in a meaningful way. So tomorrow night, we're hosting a gala at the National Building Museum. We are expecting 850-plus guests, and what's really been exciting is the enthusiasm. You know, people want to be there. They want to learn more. They want to think about ways that they can engage with Girl Rising India and the larger movement. You know, I think India is the pilot in many ways. You know, if we can successfully launch this campaign in India, right, we can go into many other regions of the world, right, with this campaign to unleash what we've done already with the 2013, with the original film. So tomorrow night is really an opportunity for people to learn more about Girl Rising. It's an opportunity for people to think about how they can join this journey, right, and join the movement, again, in very meaningful ways through corporate partnerships, through connections and networks that they have both here as well as in India. And it's certainly a fundraiser. So all of the funds raised tomorrow night will go towards the campaign in India.
And here it's going to be decorated pretty nicely, I hear.
Oh, yeah. You know, so
someone told me that.
Someone told you that. Let me tell you what I think is really fabulous about this whole thing. So every single person who worked on this event is a volunteer. These are people with full-time careers, with families,
right,
who basically gave their free time to fundraise, to get the sponsorships, to sell those tickets. And every vendor, and we have a lot, coming, I mean, you know, the National Building Museum, right? So every vendor that's coming in there, either they're doing this pro bono or they gave us a discounted price. And their reasons were all the same. This is an amazing cause. Like, this is the right thing to do, and we really need to invest in girls. So whatever, you know, we can do to help, people were willing to do it. And I think that's what's so amazing, because I think oftentimes we think, you know, yeah, it is a really beautiful gala, and this is a beautiful venue, and the decor looks amazing, but shouldn't we just be putting the money on the ground?
Right.
And I think what's exciting about this is that the community really galvanized and decided that they were going to give whatever it is that they could give. So it's truly this sort of larger Washington, D.C. community effort.
Absolutely. And take me, just break down the logistics a little bit more, because so the thing that played at Sundance was sort of this global, you know, it hit on a lot of places around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and now you're shooting a new version, or you're just kind of repurposing it for India, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Tell me the logistics of deciding to shoot,
sure,
shoot
yeah,
the India-specific
sure.
version.
Yeah,
sure. So the making of the film was actually very strategic. Not only did we tell nine girls' stories, but we partnered with nine of the greatest female writers in the world to help bring those stories to life. And then we asked nine celebrities, Meryl Streep, Alicia Keys, Selena Gomez, to narrate those stories.
Frida Pinto.
And so we did that, of course, knowing very well that that was all about reach. That was about inspiring 11-year-olds as much as it was about inspiring 60-year-olds. And so that model was very, very successful for us in the United States. Oh, and so we decided to look to our Indian partners and ask them, would this model work for you? And they said not only would it work for them, but that the love of Bollywood is even more grand and colossal in scope than Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so we turned to Frida, and we turned to Priyanka Chopra, and we said, will you help? And they said, absolutely. And so they called their friends, and their friends just happened to be the most celebrated actors in India today. And so we went to Star, and you know, Star has, they're in 720 million homes. They're in 10 countries, sorry, 100 countries in 7 languages. Think about that compared to CNN International, which is 65 million. Yeah. So this is on a scope, scale, on a, a level that we have never, ever, we didn't think that was even possible. And then you add strategic partnerships with corporations like HP, and then you add a partnership with the Ministry of Women and Girls Development, with the Indian government. And then you realize, wow, we have the might and the muscle to really do this. Yeah. And so suddenly the whole notion of empowering girls across India is not a, oh, wouldn't that be nice kind of a situation. It's like, we're going to do this. Right. And so that's our model, and that's how that's our aim in sharing stories far and wide.
And in thinking about the India version, I think what was so thoughtful about it is people automatically think, oh, well, did you create 9 new stories of 9 Indian girls? But we talked to people across India, and they didn't want that, right? I think it's really important for young people, particularly in India, when they see the stories, for them to say, wow, I have the same experience as that girl in Egypt, right? I have the same experience as a girl in Afghanistan, right? And so that it doesn't feel shaming, it doesn't feel victimizing in any way. It feels very empowering to know that there are girls, not just in my country, but around the world, who have overcome those barriers, and now they can serve as role models, and I too can overcome those barriers. And so I think that was incredibly strategic, that people often think, oh, you reversioned the film, it's 9 stories of 9 Indian girls. Right. Well, it's not, right? It really is the global community coming together to say, let's start with India, and let's really change the way girls are valued in India.
You know, 40% of girls drop out of school in India by the age of 14, and 47% are married before the age of 18. And I seriously doubt here in Washington, D.C., anyone would be okay.
Yeah. If that happened here, how will we react, right?
That's right.
Exactly. We just wouldn't. We would not be okay with that. Yeah. So part of the idea of sharing films is to allow people to witness the injustice, because when people witness injustice, they're compelled to take action.
A lot of people just don't know. They're not
they
aware.
Don't know. That's right. They're not That's aware. Right. And so with our stories comes a social action platform. So as soon as you see the film, you can go to the website and you can choose what it is that you want to do. So we try to make it very efficient so that we harness all of that desire and hope and really move the ball down the field.
Absolutely. And I don't, in terms of how the ball's been moving over time, to follow your metaphor, and I don't want to get too metaphysical with all this, but talk about how you're kind of, it's sort of, we're at that, like, you're capturing the zeitgeist. Like, we're sort of in, I mean, we just had the He Named Me Malala doc, now we Girl Rising, you know. Is this, are we sort of in the right time and place in history that we can actually do this? Let's
Absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely. I think there's no more of an exciting time than right now to be a girl. I think there, you know, who would have thought 5 years ago that there would be an event with 860 people all about girls, right? I think that films like Girl Rising, I think what Malala has done as an advocate, amazing. But so many other celebrities and influencers and folks high up in the policy arena have done is to really put this on the global agenda. I mean, just last week during the UN General Assembly, again, who would have thought that several events that took place during the UN General Assembly focused solely on girls? Yeah. So this is really, I think, for many reasons, like, sort of jumped to the top of the global agenda. It makes good economic sense. We know that when you invest in girls, you increase GDP growth. I think it's really good foreign policy sense. It's about people-to-people diplomacy. We know that countries where we invest more in girls, those are more stable, more prosperous countries, right? So I think that there are really good reasons. It's not just
so we have the stats that actually
exactly.
kind of support
and
it.
It's not just the right thing to do. In fact, what kind of annoys me is when people talk about this as a cause.
Right.
It's not just a cause. It's not just a human rights issue. This makes really good sense.
Yeah.
And so even if it doesn't compel you on an emotional level, this is the smart thing to do. And I think that's
on
what's really exciting.
On both sides of the brain, no matter which way you're looking at it. Yeah.
And that's what, I think that's what excites people. Yeah. It excites corporations. It excites philanthropists because it is it's a smart investment.
And creative
filmmakers.
Types,
that's right. It's a smart investment.
There, it was just released.
Hang on. Let's wait for the. There's an ambulance going by. All right. There you go.
It was just released that gross domestic product in India would increase by 60% if gender equality is achieved by 2025, which is doable. 60%.
That's a reasonable goal.
That is a reasonable goal.
It is a reasonable goal. It is. And I love India. I love spending time there. And the thought of that economy increasing by 60%, that tells me that that would be a beautiful nation, a powerful nation, a nation equipped to compete with nations like China, and a nation that would have...
A role model for other countries, particularly in the South Asia region.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it feels, either with watching the Malala doc or what you guys are doing in India, it seems almost like you're trying to thread a needle where you're respectful to traditions, but say, pivot and say, there's a better way, you know?
Let me give you one more example, because we were talking about the $600 million that was unlocked at CGI last week or 2 weeks ago. We launched the 62 Million Girls campaign with the First Lady's Let Girls Learn initiative. There's about to be a billboard going live in Times Square this Sunday. So this is about pushing this powerful message into the public arena. This is about everyone participating. But recently I was sent a video from remote Ghana, and it was shot inside a very small kind of mud hut classroom. And there was an Indian chief, a woman there, sitting on a stool, and the whole classroom was filled with students. And she said, "Girls, we have a new weapon to fight for our freedom. It's not a gun, it's not a machete, it's not a drone. It's girls' education." And in that moment, all the girls stood up and said, "Girl rising."
Oh, wow. So it's going to every corner of the globe.
Every corner of the globe.
A lot thanks to technology, too, like this, absolutely. That's awesome. We'll talk about, because when we talk about these issues, you know, it's we think about it sort of on a grand scale, and this global movement we're trying to do, right, which is true, because we're trying to affect as many people as possible. But make it intimate. How can just someone listening to this piece or someone that watches Girl Rising then go home to their own family and like, what are that small basic things that parents can do for their daughters? Because really, I think that's how you break through to people. Everybody has daughters, sisters, you know, mothers. And how do you make that personal? What can you do on the family level?
It's not just for their daughters.
Yeah.
It's for their
sons. Their sons, yeah.
In fact, more importantly, for their sons.
Yeah. So it might be called Girl Rising, but it's just as much for uncles and brothers and fathers and godfathers as it is for girls. Full stop. It's a movement for all of humanity, because all of humanity benefits when girls are educated. And to make it personal, I would recommend, I'll be very specific, I would recommend watching this movie together. Watch it with your family, watch it with your kids, watch it with your neighbors at church, at your synagogue, wherever you are, just watch it. And we have witnessed the most creative array of expressions that people have done after watching the movie.
Yeah.
We have a family in LA who started an organization to deliver bikes to kids who would live too far from school. We had an artist who painted the girls from Girl Rising, and then she auctioned it off and raised thousands of dollars.
Wow.
I mean, there's really, I ask people, well, what do you want to do?
Right.
What are you passionate about? Do you like to paint? Are you into running? You know, there's a myriad of ways that you can really support this.
Almost things that you two can't imagine. You know, it's out there, but you're almost lighting the spark and seeing where everyone else
wants
to take it.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's the spark. And it's an amazing experience to watch the film with your family and to listen, especially to the children in your family, to what they come away with. You know, because it opens up a dialogue and a conversation that, let's face it, most people here in the U.S., we don't discuss these issues in our families. And so it opens up a magical conversation, and so many creative ideas come from kids. And so I think just do a screening, watch it with your family. It'll spark sort of a chain of ideas and events that can really be part of the big movement.
It's quite the anecdote to, "Mom, my iPad doesn't work."
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, sit down. We're watching this movie.
We're going to watch this movie.
Awesome. Well, I hope it continues to spark many, many more people, and best of luck at the event tomorrow night. And
thank you.
It's an exciting time.
Thank you
it
very
really
much.
Is. Thanks.
Well, can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
Let me just add that. So today, this afternoon, we are doing a screening, a part partly a screening of the film. We're showing one of the chapters here at GW, and the response has been overwhelming to attend this event. You know, within 24 hours, we sold out. So I think it really speaks to, again, the energy and motivation that young people across this campus, both students as well as faculty, have, and they want to engage in sort of on-the-ground, grassroots-level movements. And so within, you know, to have, you know, we have 300 to 400 people that we're expecting today, and it's really exciting for them to understand what the film is about, to hear about Girl Rising's journey to India, to hear from Frida, to hear from Martha. But again, it really speaks to the energy that people have to being a global citizen.